We pray. Lord, open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, and our hearts to embrace all that you say to us. For Jesus' sake, amen. As school year draws to a close, we look back and ask, who was the biggest sinner this year? Right now, who comes to your mind? As we look back at years long past and ask the same question, who comes to mind? Well, I know who comes to my mind, and I'm going to name him. John Pfeiffer. If for no other reason, I've lived longer than anyone else in this room. I believe that's correct. Ron Rail's not here today. Through the years of my life, I have accumulated a staggering number of sins. I've lived for 27,385 days. Now, if I committed one sin per day, the number is hard to think about. What if I committed one sin per hour? Then the number would come to 657,240. Considering the fact that my old Adam is constantly on a sinning rampage, the number becomes unimaginable. Innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Is that the way it is with you? Did you think of yourself when I asked who was the biggest sinner this year? You should have. No one's sin should stand out in your mind more than your own. Yes, you can be aware of the sins of others. But when it comes to others, you only see what they commit outwardly. As for yourself, you see not only what you commit outwardly, but also inwardly. Sinful thoughts, words, and desires that plague you hour after hour, day after day. Have you ever stopped and really taken a look at the Ten Commandments and applied them to your own personal life? I don't mean what you did in confirmation class. I mean personally taken this actions, thoughts, words, actions that you've committed. When I went through the Ten Commandments confirmation class, we discussed the many ways in which each commandment can be broken. And each time, it struck me how I have violated every one of those commandments. And not just once, but often. And you can bet that there are many more times than I can remember. And many more times when I didn't even realize that I was sinning. Nevertheless, I was. King David said it for us, "Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." Surely the sins that we commit day after day mount up like a pile, and then like a mound, and then like a hill, and then like a mountain. And we feel like we're being crushed under the load, heavier and heavier it gets until we can hardly breathe. My iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. The mental institutions of this world are full of people who cannot bear their guilt. Suffering from deep depression, they resort to mental escapism. in order to just endure. The psychologists, the psychiatrists of the world call it mental illness. And they resort to mind tricks in an attempt to help them. Trick them into believing there is no such thing as sin. And if they can convince them of that, then away goes the guilt. There is no such thing as God. Away goes the responsibility. Then they will get well. But it's usually short-lived. Drunkenness and drug abuse are other ways to find escape. Some try to distract themselves by partying all the time. They don't have to think about their lives. Watching TV until they fall asleep. Or one can immerse himself so deeply into his sins that they don't really seem so bad anymore. And so the guilt goes away. Paul speaks of those having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. The hot iron of repetitive sinning cauterizes the open wound created by the conscience, the open wound of guilt. And then there are those deeply religious people who think that they can do something to make up for all the wrong that they have done. Martin Luther, before he came to faith, tried to atone for his sins by abusing his body. He would fast for long periods of time, literally starve himself. He would whip himself until he was unconscious on the floor of his monastery room. He would engage in these long hours of prayer as a way of atoning for his sins. But he could find no rest, no peace. Isaiah agreed when he said, "We are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags." We don't want to stop here, do we? So come with me to the Garden of Gethsemane and see a man weighed down with a burden almost too heavy for him to bear. Listen to him when he says, "My soul is overwhelmed with with sorrow to the point of death." Look at that man, down on his knees. You see the sweat pouring out from the pores on his forehead like great drops of blood. Such was the pressure that he was suffering. Such was the weight as he contemplated taking upon himself the sins of the whole world. The guilt, the punishment. And now we go to that hill outside of Jerusalem. We see the man suspended between heaven and earth on that center cross. We listen to him, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And now we go to the cemetery. And we see the stone rolled away and the empty tomb. And that burden of sin and guilt that I've been talking about, all has been removed. It was placed on him. He was made to be sin for us. And now we have become the righteousness of God in him. The load is lifted. The mountain is moved. The burden is gone. We prayed with David, "Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions." And his answer is found in the book of Jeremiah. "I will remember their sins no more." The Apostle Paul as an argument with me. I said that I'm the biggest sinner. He said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I guess I can debate that with him in heaven. Well, no, I'm not going to. But together we can rejoice in the great love of Christ Jesus, who paid the ultimate and full price to save Paul and me and you forever. So who is this biggest sinner this year? Not you. Not me. We stand before the throne of God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. All is forgiven. Hymn 609. 609, verses 6 and 7.